Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 172, recorded on March 22nd, 2018. On tonight's episode, we discuss the Nindy Showcase that occupied our space for about 11 minutes this week. Also, some really cool other publisher news from Nintendo Switch, a new Joy-Con with a D-pad, and tons of other rumors. Zach, cue that music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is March 22nd, 2018. Joining me tonight from high on his perch at VGTribune.com, the man, the myth, the legend, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
Pretty good. What am I a legend of? That's, I don't know.
You know what? That's what I like about you, Jesse. You're a man of mystery. Speaking of mystery, joining us as well is from the land of the south, Mr. Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
The only mystery we have here in the south is what is in a hot dog.
I thought you were going to go with the mystery meat in the cafeteria.
Oh, we've got that too. And here's the thing: if you ever find out what is in both of those, you won't want to eat them anymore.
Nope. And there are some secrets the man was not meant to know.
That's true. My father-in-law refers to a hot dog as having everything but the squeal.
Yep. That's disgusting.
There's another one of those southernisms.
That is everybody. I think there needs to be like an entire hashtag dedicated to just southern wisdom. I like it. Very cool. Well, hey guys, we got lots of cool stuff to talk about. We'll find out. We have things to talk about regardless. Let's get straight into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. And the news is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show. You can be a part of changing the world, and you know, or the whatever this nonsense we're doing, whatever that is, that's what we're doing right here. You can be a part of it. Patreon.com/NintendoDads, and for as little as $5, you can go over to get into the wonderful Discord, all that jazz. So you guys are awesome.
You're gonna want that Discord.
Yeah,
you're gonna want it.
You're gonna. I don't even know what that. Like, I feel like you're making a reference with that, but I don't know what it is. So,
It was just a little Christopher Walken there.
I like it.
You're gonna want that.
You're gonna
Discord.
You are. Yeah. So, Marty, we got some Patreon news going on.
Yeah. So, we've got three new patrons, and we also want to say a big thanks to our newest Patreon producer, Timothy Off, for becoming a Patreon producer this week. But we also want to say thanks to Chad Benoist, Tech Mike, and Benji Kong for joining up
the
Patreon
Benji Kong
legions this week. And it's getting better and better. That's all I can say.
You guys are amazing. Right on, man. Well, with that, we've got some stuff to talk about. Late last week, there was an announcement made that, hey, everybody, be excited, be ecstatic, be, you know, just super pumped because a Nintendo Direct is coming. And, or an indie, what do they call it? The Nindies Showcase, which, of course, last year, the Nindies Showcase was arguably, like, I feel like that was the moment before, and this was before the Switch launched, right? I feel like that was the moment where the discourse changed, and that sort of the tone of the Switch changed a little bit of like, oh, wait a minute. No, like this is going to be pretty awesome for indie games. This is going to be a pretty awesome time. They showed off a lot of really great games that we were really excited about. I don't know if I have my timing right on that, but regardless, that is my memory of it. And so that means it's real. You know how that works. So yeah, so basically, you know, they announced that on Friday and that it was coming the next Tuesday. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they said how long that Nindy Direct was going to be.
They did not.
Which I think was a huge mistake. I think what they should have done was stealth drop this thing or announced it on Monday morning instead of Friday. You know, there are lots of things that
I mean, kind of subtly. They didn't even call it a Direct.
Right, which they didn't call this the Nindy Showcase a Direct last time either, though, right?
No. I did some research.
Sure.
And the last time that there was a Nindy Showcase was last year in August.
Oh, okay.
So, in Nindy Showcase 2017, and just to compare from what we've got this time to last time, we had a 22-minute Nindy Showcase last time. This one clocked in around 11 minutes.
Mm. Do you feel like that was, I feel like there were some last minute things that kind of fell off the wagon here, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Like,
here are the ones that were announced last time. We're like Super Meat Boy Forever, Shovel Knight, Card King of Cards. Let's play a game before we get into this time. Okay. Let's play a mm-hmm. game, and we'll read the games from last time, from August, and say, A, have they come out yet? And B, if so, did we hear about them this time? If not, okay? So we'll just do that. Or have we heard about them? I think some of these, we heard about them last week, too. So,
okay.
Super Meat Boy Forever.
No,
haven't heard about it. That was launching sometime in 2018. I'll forgive them for that, maybe, right? They said was 2018 last time. Shovel Knight, mm-hmm. King of Cards, launching early 2018.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes. We saw that last
week. That was on the Direct.
Yeah, we saw that in the first one. So there's one. We're one for three. Kentucky Route Zero. Oh, great. Now I'm going to have to actually check. We haven't seen that. Okay.
And I was super excited about that and hoping it would be out by now.
Yeah. And they said early 2018. Mm-hmm. So SteamWorld Dig 2. Okay, there we go. There's one that's been out.
Wow, already released.
Yeah. Dragon Marked for Death. Supposedly coming out this winter. Did that happen?
Let me check and see if that's...
I have it not yet released in my list.
Yeah. Okay, and then we're getting into some other ones that now we're like Battle Chef Brigade, Golf Story, Four Kids, Wolverblade, that's out, Poly Bridge,
mm-hmm.
Earth Atlantis.
Marked for Death is still marked as TBD.
Yeah, Earth Atlantis came out. Next Up Hero, we still have not heard from, right?
Nope.
That supposedly was early 2018. Mom Hid My Game, that's been out. Mulaka came out, Yono and the Celestial Elephants. Morphe's Law. Wait a minute. Where's Morphe's Law at? Where?
Who knows?
Oh, I was hoping to play that game like Christmas time.
That game's not even on the Nintendo website.
Oh, geez, man. So, and
again, I really hope that's not one that's going to get lost in limbo.
Yeah. Sausage Sports Club.
I need to know a release date on that game.
Light Fingers.
That was the one I was hoping to hear.
Yeah, Light Fingers and then Nine Parchments.
Sausage Sports Club is marked as fall still.
Yeah. So Light Fingers not shown. And what was the other one?
Nine Parchments, which is out.
Yeah, it's out.
Okay.
But another thing, too, that right around that, you know, when they did the Nindy Showcase, they also did Nindies at Night.
Mm-hmm.
Like really close to that. And they showed Runner 3, which still isn't out.
Right.
They showed Super Beat Sports, which you and I both have.
Mm-hmm.
They showed Worms WMD, which is out. And Light Spear or Licked Spear, Double Spear Edition, it's out.
Mm-hmm.
Runner 3 has a release date of May 22.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's soon. Piku Niku, I don't think that's out.
Kinzuntai.
And mm-hmm. then... Lost Sphere was shown, which is out, and Gear Club Unlimited, which is out.
Yeah. So
pretty good.
There are several games, I guess, in what we're trying to say here is that there are still several games here that they have announced that, and maybe here's the thing is maybe Nindy's Direct, the Nindy's Showcase is for either like announcements that it's coming to the Switch, or it is for announcing very soon coming games, right? And it seems like this Direct, they didn't give dates to anything, first off, which is a little disconcerting. And by the way, spring goes until the middle of June. So,
okay.
Right. And so that like high hopes, low expectations here, people.
Today is the first day of spring, or yesterday was, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. Know. So a lot of these games we can expect to see in the next 3 months, but, let's go through this real quick. Because honestly, let's be real here for a second. This was a pretty underwhelming thing. I think the time was part of it. I think the fact that there are several games that we have been excited for a while and also it feels like Nintendo is very, they've got like this weird, I wonder if there's like these weird politics going on behind the scenes about like who gets into a Nintendo Direct. Have these people, I even remember listening to an interview with, what's his name? The dude who's in the Direct. Oh my gosh. I'm blanking.
Damon.
There you go. You know, even hearing something with him that they have had some indie developers who they like promote and then suddenly they go dark or that things take longer than they should or whatever. My sense is that Nintendo does not like to give those people a second chance. And so if there was a game that, you know, like Pocket Rumble, I bet you Pocket Rumble, we don't hear a dang thing about that game and they are going to be in the also releasing this week category. Like because they were a huge spotlight. They were going to be launch window sort of game. And then they still aren't out. I think Nintendo is like, okay, you know what? We will put you on the Switch still, but you know,
here's some games. I won't say that. Here's what I want to say before we get into this. Underwhelming, right?
Sorry, say that again. You cut out a little bit.
Your description of this.
Say that again.
So you said underwhelming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That was your.
Yeah.
That was your summation of this. I think I've been thinking about this, and this is the best illustration I can come up with about this Direct or this showcase. Have you ever like felt like you were going to have a really satisfying fart, and then you go to fart and it's nothing? Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say, and you filled your drawers.
Well, no, that was, you're going in an opposite direction, but no, it's like, you just think this is going to be like just this big, you know, moment. It's going to be a lot of shock and awe, right? It's going to be sound and
friction,
and fury,
the friction
and everything
is just not there. And it's just sort of,
it just goes,
by.
It just goes. And that's it. That was this showcase. What this was. It was a majestic fart in the making that just passed quietly into the night. Or if you don't like the fart illustration, you can just call it the first official Nintendo dumpster fire of 2018.
Yeah. So it's past gas, PAST.
Here's the thing, though.
Oh!
Here's the thing, though.
I like it.
Here's the thing that I'll say, though, Marty, is that I don't think that any of this stuff, like I there were several games in there that I'm like, oh, hey, that's kind of cool. Oh, hey, that's weird Stickman Cowboy RPG. I don't know that I'm interested enough in that, but nothing was amazing in here. Right. Let's very quickly go through it. So there was Mark of the Ninja Remastered, which is a 2D platformer stealth game. I played
it. They didn't even show any footage of.
Right. But there, I mean, this is a game that's been out on other platforms for years, right? It's actually a pretty good game. I really enjoy it. I would definitely recommend it. Fantasy Strike. See, some of these games, man, I don't even remember.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you that this is the one game in this whole thing that I just went, yes.
What was this one? Remind me.
It is the fighting game. It's like the full 3D. Well, not 3D. It's like the 2D with the fully like kind of 3D fleshed out characters, and they're harnessing the elements like wind and water and fire.
To be honest,
Avatar: like, The Last Airbender without the Avatar or
so
The Last Airbender.
So many of these games went through them so fast.
Yeah.
There was really not an impression to make other than, oh yeah, that's cool. Oh, it's the next game. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's cool. Next game.
Yeah. So the next one. So that one comes out in summer, which is cool. Just Shapes and Beats, which is a music rhythm game, it looks like, or
Bullet Hell music game.
Bullet Hell music game. That's right.
I'm kind of excited about that one. That one looked out of all of them, it looked like the most unique.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Garage, which is it looked kind of like a GTA, top-down GTA kind of game.
It's like B-movie horror game.
Yeah.
Zombies and mutants and how long you can survive.
Yeah, it looks fine. Spring. Pool Panic. Pool Panic is from Adult Swim Games, which...
This is one that... I think has my attention. It kind of has a Golf Story vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems to have that kind of, it looks like it should have that type of sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Like a pool RPG, except your character is the cue ball.
So this one I'm interested in trying out.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of negative reactions to that one, but I'm like, no,
it's a little bizarre, like a weird physics sort of game. Yeah. Next one, Bomb Chicken, which, you know, another pixelated 2D platformer, as ridiculous as
another
it looks.
Pixelated chicken platformer.
Yeah, there you go. That's coming in the summer.
Or Jules.
I just imagine Jules watching the direct. Oh, what the hell?
it's like that episode of Big Bang Theory. We turn.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Yeah. So the next one actually is one that I've heard a ton about this game, Lumines. Never played it. But apparently
I played this on my PSP.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I think I rented it once. And you know, the logo to me when it was new, the logo that said Lumen the title. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the N, so I thought the name of the game was Lumies for like the longest time. So I see
play
this,
some Lumies.
And I see this show up, and that's the first thought that goes into my head is it's not Luminous, it's Lumies.
So, I'm actually okay with this because I think it was either last week or the week before that I was saying that, like, besides Picross, Nintendo, the Switch didn't have a lot of puzzle games. Mm. So I'm okay with this. And I actually like this one. It's one that I don't know that I'll probably wait for it to go on sale.
Yeah.
But have either of you guys played it?
No, I haven't.
I played a little bit.
Isn't there a mobile version of this game? Maybe I played it on mobile.
I think so.
Oh yeah, it was a PSP launch title.
Right. No, he's talking about like on iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Or iPad. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. About it like this. Like Tetris is, you know, top down. Right, you're clearing out lines, and the way you do it is by making a complete line. In Lumines, you combine similar colored blocks into blocks of four or larger.
Uh-huh.
And a line scrolls from left to right in beat with the music, and it will clear out whichever boxes you have transformed.
Uh-huh.
And so the higher you get, the songs change and the colors change, and it can be both relaxing and frustrating. And it's one like you kind of got to get the concept of it to begin with, but like it just looks nice, and the music's pretty good too. I mean, that's part of the experience of it, and that's always been part of the experience of Lumines is having that music. I don't know. The more and more I talk about it, I'm like, I may pick it up when it first comes out. But if it's like more than $24.99, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what, because
I could count on one hand the number of times I played Puyo Puyo Tetris since I bought it.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. So that is the, where were we? The, I lost my spot. Lumines.
Lumines.
The Reigns.
Yeah. Reigns, King and Queens, looked like some sort of, political.
I have this on my iPhone.
It looks like Tinder kind of, I don't know.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
So basically what you play as a king, it's got a really good sense of humor. I do like the game on the phone. So
yeah,
it like, you're the king, and it'll come up, and like you have four different, I guess, factions that you have to balance. Like okay. You have like the military, the church, the people, and like, I guess, the wizards or something like the mages or something like that. And each choice that you do, whether you swipe left or right on the guy's picture, will either take away or add to each of those. Mm-hmm. If any of those four factions gets their point total to zero, then you lose and the king is overthrown.
Uh-huh.
And you start over. So there's been Reigns and there's been Reigns Her Majesty, which is on iOS, and they're putting them together for this one. It's actually really fun.
Mm.
You know, like you'll have some kings that you'll just get up, you'll get bad luck and you'll last, you know, 4 years, which is like four swipes, or you'll last 20 years, or you'll last 50 years. And as you go, you complete tasks like meet the king or meet the queen, you know, fall in love or stuff. And when you do that, it actually adds new cards to your deck.
Okay.
And so the next time you play, it shuffles through all of those and you have new scenarios that open up.
Oh, cool.
And so there is a story to the game, but you may be on your like 25th lineage before you complete an objective, because you can't figure out, like, I have one on my phone right now where it's like, meet the devil.
Hmm.
Well, how do I do that? It doesn't give you any, you know, but like there's all kinds of things. Like there's one scenario where you end up in a cave and the cards aren't people. They're like doors and walkways through the cave, and you have to try to find your way out. But that being said, if it's more than $9, like, because I don't really know how much it is on iOS.
The you can buy a bundle with both Reigns and Reigns Her Majesty on iOS right now, and it is $7 Canadian. So it's probably like $5 for the
$4.99
for both games together.
It shouldn't be any more than that.
Yeah,
and this is not a game where there like you have to have buy things in the game, like you have to have in-app purchases, so it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
Reigns Her Majesty is $2.99 on the App Store right now, and I think I got the first one when it was like 99 cents. It was like a deal of the day or something.
Cool.
It's worth a dollar. I mean, I think that these two together would be worth it, but like, I don't know why I'd want to play this on my Switch. Does that make sense?
That kind of opens up a big thing that I was just thinking of like, just games on the Switch that are, just the general sort of like transferring mobile games onto the Switch. There were a few games that we got even as review codes. It was like Red Game Without a Name or something like that. You know, there's a few different ones, and I kind of just, I don't know. I'm not a fan of having those kinds of games, transfer, like they don't transfer very well, I guess, is maybe what I'm trying to say.
Some of them do and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Totes the Goat transferred pretty well. If you play Totes on iOS, you know, it's there's a freemium type thing going on, and if you die, you die, and that's it. If you play it on Switch, you get lives.
Mm-hmm.
And since there's no freemium currency, then you're not, you know, you're not buying that, so you have extra characters that earn extra money when they go over coins to help you unlock all the characters. I unlocked all the characters in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
There, where, you know, on the iOS, I probably would never do that.
Yeah,
and so I'm okay with like paying a couple more dollars or paying that if to eliminate the freemium part of it. And I say that because there's a game called Slayaway Camp that has released on Switch today, and that was actually a game far back in our episode archive that talked about as like, you know, what have you been playing this week? And I said, well, it's not a Nintendo game, but can I talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Slayaway Camp. And it's It's like a puzzle horror game where you play as like Jason or one of those B-movie killers, and you slide him around, and when he touches a person, he kills them. And yeah. Your objective is to kill all the people and go out through the portal.
Yeah, I played this on at your recommendation.
Yeah, and it's actually really cool, except like I was looking tonight on the eShop before we started recording, and the Switch version is $15.
Which is nuts, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm not paying $15 for this.
That's nutty. Yeah. There's no way and that's the thing, is just transferring over and suddenly it's, I don't know, no good. So that Switch is, Switch. Well, I think it's also just console game tax, right? Next one up is Lightfall, which is
Celeste with a box.
Celeste with a box. Let me tell you, I know I've said this before, but there's a whole lot of games that are, here's another 2D platform, like indies, please. Indies. Hey, indies. Another kind of game, please. Not 2D platformers. Anyway.
If they follow the way that console games have gone for a while, then they're going to shuffle off of 2D platformers into 3D platformers and first person shooters only.
Gross.
Please don't do that either.
Next one is,
I want to say something about Lightfall here.
Yes.
I thought it looked great. Like, visually looked great. In fact, I've seen photos of it since then that are kind of stunning.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is coming from someone who loves 2D platformers, I don't give a one rip about this game.
Yep.
Like, it looked like Celeste meets Meat Boy in the worst way.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm okay with, like, the 2D platformer indie game, Shovel Knight or stuff like that, you know, where it's, like, I can play it at my own pace. But having to do this breakneck run through it, either you do it right or you die multiple times, Twitch-based stuff, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, all that we're going to get, like, I don't know, like, maybe something will come along that will make me excited about this title, but, like, when it stopped, like, when the whole Direct stopped and they let this have its own little introduction, you know, where they didn't be like, now this title is da-da-da, but they actually just played the trailer and let the audio go, like, you know, that's one of the games that they're, like, really banking on, right?
Yeah.
Because they always do that, and I was like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't see why this is special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's made by the people who made Limbo. Whoop-de-doo. Limbo was a way better game than this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, Limbo was a completely different game, and it was amazing. This just looks like they copied Celeste.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even think it's possible that they could have copied it, because it would have been in development for so much longer. But I see what you're saying nonetheless. And it's a
copy's a strong word. I'm sorry.
No, but I see what you're saying. And let's be fair, these 2D platformer, I don't know, man.
They're running together.
But having said that, Celeste has been on the top of the charts for a while now. So maybe I just don't have the same taste that most people have. That's fair too. Next one, having said that, you know, because of this next game, West of Loathing, this cowboy RPG stickman thing, looks a little like, looks weird and kind of reminds me of, and I don't know how accurate this is, but what's the Strong Bad, Teen Girl Squad? You know what that is?
It had a very Teen Girl Squad-esque.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you were to make a Teen Girl Squad RPG in the Wild West, that is what this would be, almost. I don't know. At least the art style. I think it's really great.
I need to see, like, it's fine if you're sitting there and you're telling me why it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're saying, this is funny. It's hilarious. Why?
Yeah.
Like, I need to see some of that. Because, like, there's lots of things that people think are funny, and I don't care.
Mm. Well, is it funny for crotchety old men, is your question. Is that what you're saying?
Ha ha.
That's okay. Hey, man, don't worry about it.
Here's the difference. Is it 37-year-old man funny, or is it, I can't talk unless it's a meme funny?
Mm. Yeah, no, this looked, and I, I could be wrong here, but it looked like the kind of game that's more of like, it's like clever, kind of witty, kind of funny, which is what I would hope. That was the impression that I got from the trailer, but I could be totally wrong on that. Yeah. I don't know if maybe somebody in the chat room too, like, I know even when I was talking about this on Twitter, somebody said, yeah, no, I played that and it was awesome. So I can't remember who that was now, but I remember seeing that. So I'm looking forward to that. That one comes out spring. So soon. Cool. So next up, what is this one? Puda. Oh, guys.
Puda. It's spelled like Pode. And even though I know it's Puda because that's what they said, it still looks like Pode to me.
Like when I first watched it, I thought they were saying Fuda.
Yeah.
Like again, Fuda.
This looked like a co-op version of what was the game that came out that had a crappy frame rate and was a big 3D adventure platformer. Not platformer. It was like a 3D exploration. Marty, you reviewed it. We got it really early. 3D game with the island and the terrible frame rate. You don't remember?
Oh, Rhyme.
Yeah, it looked like different character design, obviously, but it's similar gameplay. It kind of looked like.
I love how you said it's the island with the terrible frame rate. Immediately, I knew what it was.
So, like, at least that's kind of what it reminded me of, the gameplay from what I was seeing. It looks fine. You know, it looks like a good time, but and that's coming out in the spring.
Looks like a good one for moms and dads and their kids.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
depending
the first thing I thought.
Yeah, I think it depends.
This would be a great pickup to play with my kids.
Yeah, if that is, yeah, for sure. I can see that. Next up, we've got The Messenger, which is a ninja game. This
one scares me because on the one hand, it looks interesting, and I'm thinking about getting it because it reminds me of Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it reminds me of Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
And that's also a bad thing.
not the 3D Ninja Gaiden.
No. But
yeah, the 2D are brutal NES. As well. I did see a tweet from someone earlier tonight who is a games journalist, and they said that, I don't know, they said they got a demo of this game. Mm-hmm. Somehow they got to demo it, and that they said it's really something special.
I was going to say, I'm watching this trailer
it
again.
It is closer to, as far as where they would rate it for them, like closer to Shovel Knight.
That's actually what I was thinking. Like I was looking
Shovel
at
Shovel Knight quality.
Like it looks like very, and again, there are certain, like I can do some kinds of 2D platformers. Like platforming for the sake of platforming, not so much, but if there's like add a little bit of combat into that, you know, like some 3D fighty 2D, you know, or some like 2D action platforming, I guess is maybe what you'd call it, like this game. And it looks very precise and fast paced and cool. And I like that a lot.
I like the gimmick of the switching back and forth between 8-bit and 16-bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they announced it and they built it up, it's like this thing that they've not talked about. My first thought was it's going from 2D to 3D.
Yeah.
I thought that we were getting like a Super Paper Mario style, you know, platformer where it's like, oh, so that you're going to have to go from 2D and use your ninja sense to go into 3D. But then they're like, oh, no, it goes to 16-bit.
I was like, oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, well, that's cool, too. But my idea is better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see how this goes. It looks cool, though. I like the, oh, it's like as they time travel through the adventure. So, like, if you go into the future, then it's 16-bit. And then if you go back into the past, then it's 8-bit again. That's cool. That comes out in the summer. I've got my eye on that one. The next one is Bad North. This is, you know, you defend strongholds in this roguelite.
Oh, I forgot about this
real-time one. Strategy game.
As soon as they said the magic word, I was hooked.
Roguelike?
Yeah, roguelike. You know, the roguelike and real-time strategy are my two dings.
I was going to say, so this, like, what? So this is like a sort of, like, real-time strategy as in, like, StarCraft, Warcraft sort of stuff? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I don't know how you do that on the Switch. Like, those games require so much, at least for me, the only time I've ever enjoyed them is when I could use a mouse.
I wonder if this is going to be a touchscreen game.
Maybe.
Because like having to pick those different, you know, groups of fighters
mm-hmm.
and move them around, that would be perfect for the touchscreen.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. But something tells me you're going to have to move a cursor around with a Joy-Con.
Or maybe if it's a little bit more grid based in how you select them, you know, you kind of like you use the D-pad and go like down, down, right, right, right. And
yeah.
then you select because it is kind of grid based too, right? So
I don't I was watching this. I don't know if you picked up on this. It looks like there's only four colors of banners.
Oh, so maybe yeah, so maybe you just
I wonder if like each color is assigned to a button.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably that would be a good idea if they did it that way. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited by that one. We'll see. All of these are dependent upon reviews. You know, like everything that is on here, I'll like the day that it's released, I'll go and see what the reviews are, and if they're good, I'll bite. But I'm not. Or if we get a review code, I guess that's the other option. Finally, the big news for this was that Banner Saga 3 will be coming this summer to the Switch, and that both Banner Saga 1 and 2 will be releasing sometime before then. This is basically like a different art style, but it reminded me, and I don't know, maybe people out there know what Banner Saga is. I did a little bit of research myself, but kind of like Fire Emblem. Right? Like that sort of grid-based strategy, turn-based sort of deal. So,
The only thing I know about them is that King tried to sue them because they're using the word saga in the name.
Really?
Because this and Candy Crush are too confusing.
I'm totally confused about the difference between a terrible crap waste of time game about candy and a game about giant Viking men vying for land in a horrible, harsh reality where they have permadeath and that's it. And you just have to like it.
Yeah.
Totally similar.
I know. I'm confused too.
Game.
So
it's like Zynga trying to copyright the, you know, Ville.
Yeah.
I don't think that worked either.
Yeah. So that is the Nindies Direct. You know, it is what it is. I think there's not a whole lot of, you know, like as we went through it again, I think that it was fine. If that would have dropped the morning of, or, you know, they would have announced it a day before, or if they would have said, join us for a 10-minute direct or a 10-minute video presentation, I think our expectations would have been managed. Nintendo has a hard time sometimes realizing that they need to manage expectations beforehand. And anytime they fail to do that, it always, unless they intentionally kind of blow it out of the water. Like, if it's small, you need to tell us it's going to be small.
Unless the announcement has the word smash in it.
Right. But yeah. Well, and the thing is like, unless you know you're going to be able to blow people's expectations out of the water, you need to set those expectations ahead of time, because then people are going to go in and they're going to have those low expectations, right? That's why we always are going into like high hopes, low expectations, because we've learned that over time. But man, I thought my expectations were low, but they didn't even address anything I was excited about. There was literally no updates on anything that we already knew about, which is kind of a problem when you've got several games that you're looking forward to and they don't mention any of them, right? Like, where's Shovel Knight? Where's Wargroove? Where's Pocket Rumble? You know, like, those are the kind of things that I'm just like, come on, guys.
You know, one that I heard a lot of people talk about in the aftermath of this was Shakedown Hawaii.
Oh, I totally forgot about that game.
That yes. was shown off. It was not even shown at the August Indies.
Yeah, that was an earlier one. Like,
yep.
But here's the crazy thing to me is that another disappointment that people talked about was that Hollow Knight was not shown during this direct, which to my knowledge has not been shown during a direct at all,
right?
Or any kind of Nintendo presentation up until now. Even though it has been confirmed to launch, But then on top of that, there's games that people have asked for that got announced later on that day outside of this presentation by Nintendo themselves tweeting about them. And I, like, in that moment, I just facepalmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that and I was like, Nintendo, what are you doing? You have Hyper Light Drifter coming to the Switch, which I've seen multiple people beg for, and you don't put it in the presentation?
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
And then, I guess because, GDC was going on that day, too. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, Nidhogg 2 is coming to the Switch, too.
Yeah.
Which is something that other people have asked for multiple times. But then, here's the most bizarre part of it all. So, they show Garage off, right? Garage is by Tiny Build.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the Direct is over, Tiny Build does their own Nindies showcase, and it's 26 minutes long.
Yeah.
I missed that one altogether.
And I was like, well, they showed off games like Hello Neighbor, which is huge for the mm-hmm. Switch. It's been one that people have, they showed some more Garage, they showed other games. Like, I was just like, guys, come on.
I don't understand it.
This felt really phoned in. And I think I've seen a ton of people like Nintendo, I don't know, just I guess like the Nintendo super apologist being like, well, they didn't really say how long it was going to be. And you got to cut them. No, I don't have to cut them any slack. The Nintendo Switch for the last year has been the hottest selling item in video gaming. Mm-hmm. It's going gangbusters. People are, can't get enough of it. Everything that comes out, people are like, it should be on Switch. It should be on Switch. There is such a fervor around the system, and you drop this lazy dumpster fire of a showcase on us, and that's what it was.
I don't know about that. I think you may be a little bit
Zach, it was lazy.
No, I don't think it was. What I would say is that having, if they would have managed the expectations, I think what you're feeling is the difference between what you wanted and what you got. But what I'm saying is that if you accepted what we got for what it was, that it actually, there are several games in there to be excited about, but they're not what you wanted to hear about.
They are. And point taken, there are games in there to be excited about. Here's my thing. And this is my question. I'm not saying this to be a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to come out sounding like a jerk, but
sure.
How do they manage those expectations?
You like, jerk. No.
What do they do realistically, knowing that right now, because it's so popular, everything is like any Nintendo Switch news is like a huge spike
mm-hmm.
in popular, in just like, it's like a flash fire. People mm-hmm. come to it and then like, you're just rolling off Smash, mm-hmm. right? And how do they manage those expectations? Would it have been better for them? Like, here's my idea in that. Like, would it have been better for them to say, hey, guys, there's going to be a Nintendo indie showcase tomorrow. It's going to be 11 minutes long.
Yeah. And
if they had tweeted that?
Yeah, that is honestly, those are the two things that I think is that they should have said how long it was going to be. And they shouldn't have announced it on Friday. They should have announced it on Monday. Because the further away an announcement is, mm-hmm. right? The earlier you announce something, the more that implies that it's something to be excited about and they want to have as much buildup as possible. So that's one, is that more time to speculate.
The hype will be building
yep.
all weekend.
That pressure is building all weekend. The other
people were hoping for a Fortnite port announcement.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
There was all sorts of stuff that people were speculating about, right?
I was. And people were like, well, that's not an indie game. Well, I kind of think it is.
And if you have to know that if you announce an indie showcase, people, and you don't say how long it's going to be, people are going to look back at what you did before, right? And so you look at the August one, which was 22 minutes long, and you looked at the other one, which was whatever, but I can't remember, the first one, but it was a lot of games too. So you're looking back at those two Nindie Directs. They didn't, it's not too hard. You just have to think, A, how much hype is there? Is there anything here that's a huge announcement that we're going to be excited about that everybody is going to know? Or is this more about like, we're showing off some games that we're excited about. We hope that you guys are too, as the fans. But like there was nothing in here that I saw and thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Roger even mentioned, you know, on his on Twitter shortly after too, why was Undertale announced last week when they could have when this could have been like that they could have announced this, week.
Undertale could have been like the capstone of this.
Yeah. And it, yeah, like that seems like a weird thing to me too, but
and here's something that I think they could have done to manage expectations too is a very brief, like, I won't call it like a highlight reel or anything like that, but just like if Damon Baker had spoken over like maybe video clips or pictures of, and we know you guys are anticipating Shakedown Hawaii and King of Cards and Wargroove and other great titles that are coming to Nintendo Switch from our partners. Understand we're working on those and we'll have news on them as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that it didn't feel like, we shoved all this stuff in your face in 2017. It'll get here when it gets here.
Yeah.
Cause that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. The silence is deafening at this point. And so
on some of those early games.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Hey, Nintendo Switch is going to launch on March 3rd, 2017. And you'll have Pocket Rumble by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. And again, here, Nintendo, we know that actually we do have people at Nintendo who are listening. We know that you guys are doing the best you can, and like I get that, and so hopefully this is what it is, and you know, like we still appreciate all. And here's the other thing too, is that their job is not to manage the expectations. I think that's something important that I also want to point out is that their job is to make the Switch a successful, amazing platform where lots of indies want to come in and put their games on there. And it is not, their job is not to cater to fanboys' expectations and to make sure that the salt ratio on the internet is at an optimal level. Like that's not their job. Their job is to sell these games and to get as many as they can on here. And so I think that's important too. And to just kind of, For me, I think that's a really important, valuable thing to keep in mind that's
this has been the first time in over a year
mm-hmm.
where I have kind of stepped back from Nintendo and the whole train, the whole shebang, and said, maybe that wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's been, and I guess that's probably where I'm having the problem is there. I mean, the disparity between there are games I wanted to see and games I would like an update on, and man, Nintendo, you've done everything so good up until now. And this just didn't feel like that caliber. Right. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
What maybe, and honestly, here's full disclosure. What may feel like a dumpster fire to me, there's people that are just like, this is amazing. This is incredible.
I saw them online and I didn't understand it, but I saw them.
Right.
And
here's the thing, like not everything that people put out is going to be for me. Right. It's just mm-hmm. like you hate 2D platformers right now.
Yep.
You're fed up with them now. Maybe later, you know, you haven't had any in a while. You'll get your taste back for those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the credit, I guess, to a credit here is that there was variety in this direct mm-hmm. or in the showcase. There were puzzle games, there were action games, there were all kinds of stuff. So there's something for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what Nintendo Switch needs more of though than anything? I said puzzle games. Where are my racing games, people?
Mm. Yeah.
We got Mario Kart. We got Gear Club.
Yeah, we had that question last week talking about sports games.
Yeah, like sports games and racing games. Where are they?
I don't know, dude.
I would really like to see something. You know what? Never mind. We've already talked about this enough. But
all right.
It's a total rabbit trail. Yeah, but
let's
Nintendo
let's...
should bring back Excitebike. I said it.
Oh, there you go. Yep. I like it. All right, real quick. Real quick, we got a few more stories here, and I don't want to be doing this all night long. We got lots more to talk about. Okay, so next up, we've got Nintendo hosting both a Smash Brothers Invitational as well as Splatoon 2 tournament at E3 this year. Not much more to say. I think this is a great idea. I think that their esport type tournament things are usually really good. I really loved when they did the Smash Brothers Invitational at E3 a few years ago before Smash Wii U came out. I think it's a great idea, and I also think that what this means is that we may have a little bit of a pre E3 showing of Smash Brothers, because I don't know, like, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to just unveil this at the tournament and that's the first time anybody's ever going to see it, or they'll have some other like Smash Brothers Direct a week or two before E3 and really show it off. But either way, like, this is, I mean, it's confirmed. This is like the big, this is going to be like basically one of their big, big games for E3. So
I think this is going to be the E3 game.
Mm. How
we've had Mario, we've had Zelda.
Here's the thing, though.
I think you're going to walk up to Nintendo's booth this year, and it's going to be the boxing ring from Smash Wii U.
Mm.
And there's going to be like two big statues of characters going at it, maybe like Mario and Donkey Kong or
Inklings. You know. They'll have like the Inklings.
Oh, it's a good point. It's definitely going to be the Inklings.
Yeah, Inklings will be in there. They'll probably have, Springman or something.
But they will do like a huge info dump at that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And here's the thing, though, is that I wonder if, I don't know, especially if Smash Brothers comes out maybe a little bit earlier in the year, right? Like maybe like the September, October timeframe. I don't know if this covers all of the, like, I don't know if this is a, this maybe sounds like sacrilege, but I don't know if Smash Brothers is big enough to cover all the demographics that they're going to want to cover. It's going to cover the hardcore market for sure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine a year where, like, and again, high hopes, we're in high hopes territory, people. Like, I realize that low expectations is also part of this. But imagine a year where they had Smash Brothers come out in September or October, and then Animal Crossing come out in like late October or November, right? Or something like that. I'm thinking a game that is more catering to the lighter, more casual side of Nintendo fans, that would be sort of the equivalent of like the, like what Mario Odyssey would have been this year too, right? Where it's like, it's not like a crazy high paced fighter, right? It's just something maybe a little bit more casual. I don't know. So we'll see. I'm interested to see what else they announce at E3 going along with this. Or here's the other thing, is that it could be like we had Xenoblade at the end of last year as well to go alongside with Mario. That could very well be Pokemon this year. So, anyway, so that is
the chat's hoping for Rex and Pirate and Smash, apparently.
That would be awesome. Like a cool combination.
I think there's an excellent chance you're going to see at least one of those.
Yeah. A combination character sort of thing.
I would say the more likely combination is that you're going to see Rex in the game and Pyra is going to show up during his final Smash.
Mm.
Rex being kind of similar to Pokemon Trainer, where different moves can send out different Pokemon. He can send out different blades.
Or basically, Marty, to go off your idea too with the final Smash, you have Rex who fights with the red sword and is with Pyra, and then his final Smash turns into Mythra, and then you go ham with that, basically. So I don't know. You never played the game though, did you?
I'm on the prologue.
On the prologue? Okay. So
I'm in chapter one.
Okay.
I'm in chapter one.
Spoiler alert.
I have Pyra.
There you go. Anyway, that's cool. There's all sorts
of. Can I go ahead and make one Smash prediction that I think is surefire since we're talking about it?
Yeah, let's go.
Ice Climbers.
Oh yeah, dude. They've got to come back.
It's happening.
They have to.
Ice Climber fans rejoice.
Yeah. Very cool. Next up, we have Sonic Mania Plus, which I am excited for. I know these characters, Marty, we kind of talked in the pre-show. These characters are a little bit derpy, I think. Like, well, I shouldn't even say that. They are characters that they made it sound like they were big, crazy new characters that everybody should be excited for. This feels, though, and I'll tell you why I am actually a little bit excited. These are Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel. The character design for these characters and the way that they're announced and like the kind of characters that they are feel like the kind of characters that they would have announced or introduced into a, you know, into these games, right? Like it feels like a natural addition for what they're trying to emulate for these sort of retro Sonic games. And so for me, I feel like they are like, I don't know who either of these characters are, but I can tell you right now, I will be getting this DLC day one.
I'm cool with this. So Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel are from Sega Sonic the Hedgehog, which was a Japanese-only Sonic game. It was an arcade game, but get this. The controller was a rollerball and a button.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And so there were lots of like random branching paths, and it kind of was like that weird perspective like Marble Madness is in, like that, you know, it's not 2D, but it's not 3D.
Mm-hmm. Like isometric.
Yeah. And so like you had to make your characters run around and attack. So I watched a video of it on YouTube the other night because I had no clue what this game was. And so, yeah, I totally get those characters fit with Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's more so than some of the characters that were announced like in Sonic Adventure or other things like that later on. So I'm kind of okay with them doing this, but where I kind of have a problem with the game is like it's coming out physical. It's $30, right? And you're getting some physical rewards with that as well. Well, they're charging for the DLC as well if you already own Sonic Mania. And I think it's going to upgrade you to the Plus version, but it's also $10.
Well, I don't know if they've officially announced that. Everyone's guessing it's going to be $10.
Well, I heard free, and now I've heard paid.
For DLC?
Yes.
In the initial announcement, it was quite clear that it was not going to be free.
Yeah, no, they said
it was going to be paid.
Yeah, they said that it's going to be a paid. Yeah, and
I'm going to bet $10.
10 or 15 probably, yeah. Like somewhere in that range.
Because let's see, Sonic Mania was $19.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
$10
bucks.
would put it up to speed. But if you're paying
the same as physical, just not getting the extra goodies.
Yeah,
right. You're not getting the art book. You're not getting the. And this is the only reason I would double dip and go physical is there's a reversible cover on the physical version that lets you reverse it and make it look like a Sega Genesis game box.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if nostalgia there is worth $10 for me or not, but it probably is because I'm a horrible manager of money.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Oh no, you're a Sega kid. Does the physical version of this pull at you any?
A little bit, but yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know necessarily, but that's only because I am a working adult now who has to earn every friggin' penny that I make. So I'm more just trying to be really frugal, but, it would be nice. I'm not going to lie. It would be really nice if I were to do that. So, I am tempted, but I'm also trying to not have random crap in my house anymore that I don't need. Mm, so,
yeah.
And the clutter, the digital is really appealing for that reason too.
Yeah. So. My son, I may have mentioned this before, and that's a great point about this, is I may have mentioned that he's getting the Switch for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in 2 weeks. And so I kind of told him the other day, you know, he's turning 11, so he's getting a little bit older. I was like, hey, bud, chances are you're probably getting a Switch for your birthday. You know, don't want to say you are, even though we've already bought it. You know, I want there to be that kind of mystery to it, you know, a little bit of a surprise as well. I said, but if you do get a Switch, would you be okay with getting rid of all your Skylanders and maybe using that money to get a gift card or something? And he was like, oh yeah, that'd be cool. You know, that's fine. So I was just like, well, we'll just head over to the GameStop and trade them in. Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
No.
Yeah. Mm. So even if it had been like, you know, 50 cents or a dollar for each one, we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
They don't take those anymore.
That sucks.
So
I don't blame them, though.
I'm going to be photographing and posting lots to eBay.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you would like lots of random Skylanders,
yeah,
including the brand new ones, all the way up to the, you know, choose your own hero or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let me know, because I've got a son who wants to buy games for his new Switch, and we can work something out there maybe.
Nice. Right on. So that is Sonic Mania Plus. I'm looking forward to it. What is that? Summer? Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Summer. So that is I'm excited for that. Right around 1 year after the original game came out. So look forward to that, everybody. Just a few quick headlines. First up, this came out just today. Hori announced they're making a left Joy-Con with a proper D-pad. However, it isn't wireless. You have to use it in handheld mode. And there are no SL and SR buttons because of that. There's no rumble and there's no motion. I don't think this one thing has motion anyways, right? But basically, if you want to play like Shovel Knight in handheld mode or something like that, or some other sort of 2D platformer with a D-pad, they are going to be selling it. It also means that it's only going to be $25 US, $2,678 yen, and they've only announced it so far for Japan. But I don't know.
You know that's coming over here.
And I'm interested in that for that much, man. Like, I got to say, like, one of the things is that Nintendo isn't necessarily releasing these really, sort of niche products, but the wired Pro controller is pretty decent. The one that I got from Snakebite, you know, that they sent us, that thing's pretty decent. And it was just a wired controller, but you know, those cheaper ones, you know, the more budget controllers, a lot of times they're still pretty decent. The build quality we'll have to see on this Hori one. Cause here's the deal, is those Splatoon headphones that I got from Hori, they're that I bought that Hori made, not good. They like not good sound at all. They sound like a freaking CB radio. They're garbage. So, don't get those, people, even with that splitter. I know that splitter is really cool and you wanted that splitter, but don't do it.
Hey, speaking of accessories.
Yeah.
You know, on the show last week, I was talking about how a lot of people have been talking about since the 5.0 update of the Switch that third-party docks were not working.
Yep.
And were even bricking their Switches. So right now at GameStop, they have all their Nintendo Switch dock kits, the official ones, on sale for $66 in North America. Or, well, in the U.S. at least.
Okay.
And that's available on the website too. So if you are one of those people like me who bought a Nyko dock, you know, saying, oh, it's $45, this will be great, and you don't want to break your Switch, there you go. There's an option for you. I now have two Nintendo official Nintendo docks.
And how much was it?
It was $66.67.
Oh man, I need another
at GameStop. Doc. So yeah, it's like a $20 discount.
I really need another dock, because
which was really nice. And it's like I said, you can get it on the GameStop website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Pro controllers right now, or were yesterday, either at Best Buy or Amazon, were $59.99.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So here's your deal of the day.
Nice. Right on.
Just because you were talking about accessories.
No, yeah.
This Hori controller, I'm interested in checking it out. Even if they don't release it here, at least in July, this is something I might actually import it from like PlayAsia or something.
I think it's cool that it's kind of in Mario colors too. So if you have the Mario red Joy-Con.
I don't. I only have the grays.
I know, but I'm saying if you have the Mario red Joy-Con somewhere, some people do.
So
you could get this one, and you have blue and red.
So I'll have the bruise system, the black and blue.
Nice. I am all about these sort of slightly cheaper versions that are, you know, that are. I always had like whatever we always bought the like Mad Catz controllers for like the 64. or whatever they were, that were like, you know, the control stick wasn't the greatest and all that jazz. So
yeah, and I never use grip mode anyway. You know, if I'm on TV, I use my pro controller.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I play this thing 95% in handheld mode. So it's not going to be the lack of wireless on that Joy-Con isn't going to be an issue.
I was going to say, actually, you know, that's a really good point, is that if anybody, you know, because the idea that you need to have a D-pad in TV mode, well, then you've already got an option, and that's a Pro controller. So,
right.
Yeah, so no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I very distinctly remember, like, having in the Super Nintendo days,
mm-hmm.
I remember having this thing called it was made by ASCIIware or ASCIIware, ASCII. How do you? I don't even know how you pronounce it.
ASCII. Yeah.
ASCIIware.
I definitely support the ASCIIware sort of.
If you want to pronounce it that way, that's fine.
I can get behind that.
It was a Super Nintendo controller, and one of my friends had it, and it had turbo for every button that you could turn on.
Yeah.
That either was turbo, like when you just press it down, or it was auto, like you were would automatically press that button rapidly. And it also had a slow-mo for the game, which was really just
the turbo
start button.
Yeah.
But the cool part about it was it had the Y, X, B, and A buttons were in the Super Famicom colors.
Okay. And yeah.
So that's the whole reason I wanted it. Like, I was like, I don't know what I traded him, but I finally convinced him to let me trade it. And that, like, became my first player controller for forever. And I have no clue where that thing is now. I would love to have it back.
I used to have a Super NES controller.
I just found it on
Super NES Advantage.
$5.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But the thing is it won't work on anything. I don't have an original Super Nintendo. But yeah, like, I've always had like knockoff control. Is that the word for them?
Yeah, sure.
Third-party controllers.
Third-party.
I've always had at least one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think everybody has. You know, it's the one that you make Player 2 play with.
Oh, yeah. It's a little brother controller. All right, so real quick here, I want to get through these last couple of headlines. The first one, rumor of Diablo 3 coming to Switch is still here, and it was now listed this week on, I don't know where, some website.
Cool Shop.
Yeah. So basically,
in the UK.
Yeah. So here's the deal that's important, everybody, to just know this is when you see that, you need to understand that that is not necessarily a confirmation that this is more realistic now. What it might be is somebody got really excited and put up a listing. And my bet is that that's probably what it is. In fact, given what Blizzard has said since this, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about basically all of this started because they had a GIF of a Diablo nightlight and somebody turning it off, right? Or switching it off. And everyone's like, oh, that means they're teasing the Switch.
But it was tweeted by Blizzard.
But it was tweeted by Blizzard on the Diablo account. And it wasn't even the Diablo account. It was like their main Blizzard account. And I can't remember who it was or where I heard this, but basically somebody asked them, is this what this is meaning? Is this what you're teasing? And the response was essentially, we are not that clever. Like, we, and so, like, I hate to burst bubbles, but I like, don't get too excited, everybody. So that is, I still think it's a great idea.
You'd be interested in.
Oh, I would get it in a heartbeat. Absolutely. That would be a no-brainer for me. I would do that, no problem.
This is one of those games that I should like, but I don't know if I will, just because I did buy the PC version pretty much on its launch day. And previous Diablos, well, that wasn't the issue. But like previous Diablos, you don't have to kill the bosses in one go. You can, you know, set up your portal so if you die, you could just respawn back in town. You can hop back into the fight and just continue from where you left off. Mm. So it's kind of brute forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
On Diablo 3, you can't do that. If you die, the event resets.
Yep. Yeah,
and,
you gotta.
You know, the way the the way you get around that is by going multiplayer, and, you know.
Yeah, it's very like much a multiplayer game.
I don't know what level I was. Let's say I was level 12. You know, I had a level 40 friend saying, hey, I'll, you know, join my game and we'll knock it out for you. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. That's cheesy.
That's lame sauce.
Yeah, so yeah, I never did get that was the end boss of Act 2, and so I never beat that.
It's a good game. I really like it, and I definitely think it's perfect for the Switch. But yeah, so but we'll see. I still think it's a great idea. I don't know if they'll do it, though. Finally, Jesse, we've got this thing in here about an Atari box. It has now been shown off as the Atari VCS. But they showed off some controllers, looking at a price point around $250-$300.
Yeah, and I like the look of the, like, there's two controllers they showed. One looks more like your modern controller, you know, two joysticks, D-pad, face buttons, shoulder buttons, etc. And the other one is kind of like a modern take on the original Atari controller.
Okay.
The joystick, you know, and the links I have in the show notes will bring you to images of those controllers. And I really like the way that joystick looks with the LED lights around the circle.
Very cool.
So if you haven't checked that out, look into that. So the way I'm understanding this thing is supposed to be, like, it'll be like packed in with like a bunch of old Atari games, or you can buy old Atari games on a store shop. Plus, you know, it's running Linux in the background, so you can pretty much play anything that can run on Linux. So you can play anything more modern. We just don't know what the processor power is. Mm-hmm. And this is more than just your flashback systems, which is why they're shooting for the $250 to $300 price range. But I still think that's kind of high.
I was gonna say, man, I don't know if anybody cares enough about Atari to pay that much for. Like, I don't care how good it is. It, like, yeah.
If it was like $150,
that's, I would like the say, price, yeah, of a Switch, I'll, man.
That's enough for, yeah, you can buy a Switch for that. But if it was like $150, I'd be more interested in checking it out when it launches. But at that price, I don't know.
That's nutty, dude. No way. I don't.
$300 for a Atari emulator when I can pretty much get a Switch. Yeah, that's
pretty.
It's nice. Almost DOA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. All right, well, let's get into some what we've been playing, shall we, gentlemen? Let's do that. Here we go. All right, and today we are going to be playing. We're talking about a few different things. I might as well get the big game out of the way here. We have been playing. One of the games I've been playing this week is
small little indie game that just came out.
Yeah, this little indie game. Actually, I have been playing an indie game this week too that just came out. But we'll talk about that in a minute. First off, let's talk about Kirby Star Allies for the Nintendo Switch system. Marty, you've been playing this too, right?
Yeah.
You beat this game already.
I've actually beaten it.
Like 100% beaten it, or?
No, like when I finished the story mode, it said my percentage was 79%.
Wow. That's still, you know, I mean,
and I think there's only like two or three stages that I didn't find like everything in.
Yeah. On the first go around. Right. Like, I feel like I'm only in the second world. I haven't played it too much yet, but, my impressions of it are, if you really, you know, if you don't rush through the level, you're probably going to be okay finding, at least that's been my experience so far, is that you'll be okay finding the, what you want to find, right? Like the little secret stages or the little switches that reveal the friend shrine or whatever, dream shrine. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess it is a Kirby game. Is it?
Like, it is a Kirby game.
Like, that's honestly, I don't really know how else to describe it. I've never been like, my son is excited, and as soon as he has his Switch privileges reinstated, we will find out how he enjoys the game, which should be this weekend, hopefully.
So a little advanced parenting going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've got, but as soon as that happens, then we will get his take on it as well. But I think that he is going to, I gave him a little preview today, and you know, he had dealt with a situation at school really well. And so I was like, all right, buddy, like here's half an hour, go at it. Right. And he was excited by it. So we will see how it goes, but, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. Like it's nothing that's going to blow your socks off. If you like Kirby games, you'll probably like this. If you don't like Kirby games, this is not doing a dang thing that's going to change your mind about that.
No.
So
no, I think that's a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. So,
but I also think that it's worth saying that if,
I don't think any Kirby game will convince anyone to like them if they haven't previously liked them.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's worth saying that if you've played, and a lot of people like this game, if you played Kirby Planet Robobot on 3DS,
yep.
This feels a lot like it,
mm-hmm.
even though it adds in the different mechanics. And I will, I think we should give kudos to Nintendo in one thing for this game, and that is it's the first game where I've ever had NPC characters as members of my party or as people who followed me around who were not absolutely worthless.
Oh, totally. The AI in this game's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you need them to attack, they're going to do that. If you need them to help you with a secret, they're going to do that. If you need them to pull a lever, they're going to do those things. You know, you just kind of have to get in the general direction of that item.
Yep.
Or that door or whatever, and like a little exclamation point will pop over their head and then they'll do the thing.
Yeah.
Right. And like discovering all the different ways to combine the powers, you know, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
There, you know, like there's several powers in this game that surprise me. And there's also several powers in this game that if you're a longtime Kirby fan or Kirby player are very glaring omissions.
Like what?
You know, if you like the wheel, that's my favorite Kirby power of all.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's no wheel. There's no UFO.
Yeah.
They focus. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the focus is on like combat powers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the more traditional powers have like, and I'm thinking like of Spark or Zap or Lightning, whatever they call it. It got nerfed so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time I saw one of those lightning enemies, I was like, well, you can be my friend, but I'm not going to copy your ability because it's crap.
Yeah.
So just to tell people who haven't played the game, you have to move Kirby around to generate static electricity so that he can shoot a beam out. But if you don't move and you just want to shoot, then it's these little tiny green beams and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like aura. There's no any of that. But almost all of the powers have multiple ways to use them: up, down, you know, running, combinations, all kinds of different things. And another thing, this game is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
It looks really cool. But again, like Zach said, it's Kirby.
It is Kirby.
It's not fast paced. There are some cool secrets. And I will say this, the last boss is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go ahead and say this. There's four stages, like there's four worlds.
Okay.
And if you want to call the last boss a world, cause you go somewhere to fight him, then that's fine too. So there's four worlds. The last world takes about as long to play through as the first three.
Okay.
So there's tons of content there, and there's definitely some cool little surprises in there. So there's four worlds, and then there's the end boss. And then after that, it unlocks some other ways to play through the game and does so like you're not done, but the story mode is the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. And I got it on Friday and I wasn't really able to play it Friday or Saturday. And I beat it on Monday afternoon.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. I haven't played it too much. I'm looking forward to it. I am in this weird moment right now where I'm like, oh, this game is out. I really need to get Nick's take on it more than anything else. And he's We'll get there. We'll get there. You know, something.
My son, again, he's about to turn 11. He absolutely loves this. He Kirby's like one of his favorite franchises. And I think part of it rests in the fact that it is easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it kind of makes you like, I've never thought of it this way, but when you play Kirby, you kind of like, it kind of makes you feel BA. You know what I mean? Like you're playing, it's like, I can do anything. I can turn into a wheel and drive through this whole level and none of these enemies can stop me. Mm-hmm. Come at me, bro. You know?
Yeah.
You know, or I could turn into this rock and drop here and I'll just sit here and the enemies can't touch me. And then when they move, I'll turn back into Kirby and I'll drop on them again. And so like playing with the powers and doing all that kind of stuff, I think it really appeals to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's having fun playing through it. But like on my file, I'm too much of a perfectionist. That's why I can't play like Mario 3D World or anything with my kids. Like, I'm like, you're forgetting something. You're moving too fast.
Yeah.
And so I had to play through it. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to play through his file with him and help him.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good, like, that is one of the good, nice things about the Kirby games is that it's very, you know, you can take your own, you know, you can take your time with it and go as slow as you want, or you can really go, you know, super quick and just pass the game. Right. And for a kid to be able to actually play all the way through a game and to pass the game, that's a pretty cool thing that especially in, you know, there's a lot of games that are really difficult that kids may not be able to do as well with. And so this is a great game that a kid is going to be able to play all the way through and really feel that sense of accomplishment, which I think is awesome. So that's Kirby. I don't really know what else to say about it other than it's Kirby. I have a couple other games that I wanted to talk about. The first one is it's Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is a game that has been out on the Switch for a while. It's been on Steam, all sorts of stuff like that. It is a rhythm game that is basically like a dungeon crawler, sort of like a 2D Zelda dungeon kind of game, but you have to play it to the beat and all of the enemies only move when you move, right? And so it's like, and just go watch the trailer and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about with that. But it's pretty fun. I really like it. It is a little bit more, one of the characters in the game is the bard, which basically removes the requirement that you have to move on the beat. And it just lets you move whenever you want. And then the enemies will still kind of move, you know, at a certain, whenever you move, but it's, anyways. So I found that to be much easier. I'm sure that's the whole point of that character, but it's pretty fun. I really enjoy it. I need to go back and I need to get a little bit more into it. I beat the first world or whatever it is, the first dungeon. There's like five different levels or something like that. I beat the first one and it was pretty fun. I liked it. I need to play it a little bit more. The other one that I have been playing that I haven't seen a lot of buzz about, but I've really been liking it, is a game called Tesla versus Lovecraft. And basically it is, I am learning more and more that I really love dual stick shooters. This game is, it basically takes place, you know, in the sort of early 19th century, you know, maybe like 19, when was Tesla alive? I don't know.
1800s.
That. Like the turn of the century, like late 1800s, early 1900s is kind of where
1920s.
Like somewhere around there. Anyways, you play as Tesla and the beginning of the game is like Tesla showing off some cool electrical what's it contraption thing at a, you know, at a presentation. And then Lovecraft, which if you don't know who Lovecraft is, H.P. Lovecraft is a fictional author or a fiction author from who was kind of in the, you know, around like the 30s ish. I don't know when he was, you know, when he was doing his, like in around the 30s. And he is the one who is responsible for creating Cthulhu. He did a lot of stuff about like, if you know sort of the archetypal sort of like fishman, what is it? Sort of like the, it's not the swamp thing or whatever it is, you know, the creature from the Black Lagoon. I think the creature was kind of designed around sort of these fish creatures that Lovecraft had created and all sorts of stuff like that. He wrote At the Mountains of Madness, which is all about like aliens from outer space that come and the old gods and like great old ones, all that sort of stuff. It's really eldritch horror kind of stuff. And basically Lovecraft shows up to Tesla's presentation, is like, you stop messing with things that you don't understand. And then Tesla, like the whole point of it is Tesla has all these like crazy weapons. Lovecraft is almost like summoning these weird monsters. And so it's Tesla versus Lovecraft. And so you're like, you collect different pieces in a level. And it's like, again, like a sort of bullet hell isn't the right word, but like a twin stick shooter where there's just like hordes of enemies coming after you. And you kind of got to survive, and you collect different pieces of Tesla's mech armor to create like this huge mech, which of course Tesla has a mech because that's how it works. And it's just like, it's lots of different stages and stuff to play through it. I've played through the first plane, I guess, and like the first difficulty level. I really enjoy it because I'm a big Lovecraft fan, and I'm kind of catching all the different references and stuff in it as well, which is cool. It's really fun. It is on the eShop. I think it's what, $15 maybe? So it's not too bad. I guess like you can teleport around in the game too, and there's primary and secondary weapons and all that jazz. So it's sort of like a top-down shoot 'em up kind of game, which I really enjoyed. So check that out. It's called Tesla versus Lovecraft. Super cool. I really enjoyed it. So those are the games I've mainly been playing this past couple of weeks. So Marty, what have you been playing?
Well, I've also been playing Bayonetta for the Switch, and I think I may have talked about this past week some, but I finally finished the game. I beat it. And it makes absolutely zero sense, but I don't think it's supposed to.
Nice.
It's fun. I played like the last, I was on chapter 6. Mm-hmm. And I just sat down one day and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna beat this game. And over the next like couple of days, I finished it up. But the way that I did that was I swapped the difficulty to the easy difficulty, which like basically does automatic combos. Like you just push the button and it kind of fights for you. And I found out it's much more enjoyable to play that game that way. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't care about the story and you just kind of are turning your mind off so that you can play this like really great looking beat 'em up game, then that difficulty gives you exactly what you want. Mm. And so like I got to the end of it and I was like, wow, that story made absolutely zero sense, and I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
and I know we may have talked this about this before, or it's probably been talked about because the game is older. I don't know if either of you guys have played this, but like I get kind of freaked out by Bayonetta's proportions.
Mm.
Like her legs are longer than her entire body, and that just kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Mm.
Like I play it, I'm like, God, it's and like the this animation in the game, and I don't know, I guess it was just like the way it is. Like if she's standing still, like she's leaned back at this weird angle, and it's like it almost makes her look like a greater than or a less than symbol.
Oh, really? I need to look
like,
up a picture.
Like if you make her walk instead of run, and even if she's running, like it just kind of looks like the video game adaptation of Monty Python's The Ministry of Silly Walks.
Mm.
And so, like, there's just some of those things like that that took me out of the game. But overall, like, I'm glad I played it. I guess I'm about to start working on it.
Ringing endorsement. Wow.
I guess I said this in the Discord chat and somebody's like, well, are you not going to play Bayonetta 3? And I was like, I don't know. Like maybe if I have is it bad to say it? Maybe if I have a gap in my schedule, I'll play it. But like, I generally like those type of games, but like, I And I know fighting games generally don't have a story that's all that worth following, but this one was really nonsensical. Like, it just, like, the huge, there were, like, just huge gaps in the story. And like, and they all try to feel like, in the very end, like, they try to finish it and all make it all fit, and it just doesn't. It was kind of like Lost as a video game. They try to tie it all up, and it just didn't work.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I...
But I've heard that, and I'll say that I've heard that Bayonetta 2 improves on a lot of things.
That's what I've heard, games. Too. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to playing that, actually.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too, is that it's quite a bit better in that sense. All right. So, anything else you've been playing?
I've been playing this little game. I've not really talked about it on the show much, called Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, I've heard about that. That's pretty good. I've heard that's good.
It is. It's actually a nice little indie title. Hard at all.
I think
you would enjoy it.
Yeah, I saw there was somebody online who was asking if it was good, and I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll check that out. That's good.
Yeah, but no, it sucked me back in for the good part of this week, nice. And I've just been playing it, trying to get farther. Actually, trying to beat it. You know, with one of the characters, I can usually get to like the third level of the Gungeon, no problem. And then that's when I really start struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight I almost had that third boss beat the what's he called? The cannon. It's like cannon holder or something like that. It's like a big skull thing. And it's really hard to beat. And I just messed up. Like, I just got in a bad position and he destroyed me.
Not the beholster. That's different, right?
No. It's like the cannon boulder, or the cannon balder, or something like that. It's not the beholster. No, this is a skull.
Hmm.
And he pretty much broke me off.
Nice.
I got in a corner and he does this weird attack where he gets really dark in the room and like you just see his eyes, and then he shoots like five giant bullets at you, and then they bounce all over the room, and he does that three times. So you've got like 15 bullets bouncing all over the place.
Oh, geez.
And he just kind of boxed me in, and there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
And that was like right before we started recording, and I was like, oh crap, I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
Nice. So there you go.
Right on. Marty. Jesse, what have you been playing, dude?
Yeah, I actually haven't been playing anything this week, you know, outside of, you know, the normal puzzle games that, you know, I've talked about a lot, so I won't talk about that again. But one thing I do want to talk about is I picked this up while we started recording tonight, Blossom Tales, The Sleeping King.
Yeah.
So I heard there was a news article. We didn't talk about it in the news section, but I can bring it up here.
Oh, yeah.
This game released on the Switch like in late December, like the week of Christmas. And between then and about 2 weeks ago, there was an interview with the developers. They said they sold 20 times the number of units on the Switch.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Than they did in Steam on its lifetime sales. And it's released almost a year ago, you know, late March last year on Steam. So this is a game that's slipped under my radar completely. I didn't hear this, but it's kind of like a Zelda, like
it looks 2D. Very Zelda. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I figured I'd pick it up and give it a chance. It's actually on sale for 15% off. It's normally $14.99 at US. That was marked down to $12.74. And so in buying that, I also found out then how the eShop handles the gold points going, you know, using them as currency and receiving new ones.
Right.
So like, within the old system, even if an item was discounted, you'd got the gold coins based on its original value.
That's not the case anymore, is it?
That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
So if it was, then I would have gotten the full 70 or 75 coins for 5% of 15. But it was the discounted price of $12.74 minus the almost $5 from the gold points that I had. So I only had to pay $7.81. So I got 40 gold coins based on that discounted price.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, like it's a little bit like Nintendo is being a little bit more like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't just because a 5% on that is fairly, you know, I think we kind of talked last time about how they used to give 10% on other stuff, but I think part of what the difference was with that is that I think we forget is that that was part of the digital deluxe promotion and you had to buy a more expensive Wii U in order to get that discount.
Right. And you couldn't just use the points as you go. You had to save up $10 worth and redeem an eShop card.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you basically just got a code, right?
Yeah. So now I've got, I used all my gold points to buy this to get 40 gold points. So the next thing I buy, I'll get 40 cents off.
Yeah. There you go.
So there'll be that 40 or 50 cents just continually rotating.
That Nintendo, my Nintendo money is what that is. Cool. So yeah, so that's interesting. So Blossom's Tale, you're going to be playing
That'll be that'll be something I'll be playing and probably we'll talk about next week. And then tomorrow, Detective Pikachu comes out.
That's right. That's out right now, right? Like, I guess technically it would be out right now.
Digitally, it's available now.
Yeah.
But I pre-ordered it through Amazon to get it physically because it was, you know, prime discount. Plus, it's a game I think my kid might like. So I figured I'd get this one physical. And
yeah,
it was shipped. I got a notification that it shipped on Tuesday from the Northeast area of the nation, which is currently having snowstorms.
Oh, good. Lucky you.
So then I got a notification on Wednesday. Yeah, it's kind of stuck in the snowstorm. It's somewhere in Maryland right now. And then I got a notification this morning. Yeah, it's still in Maryland.
Oh, that sucks.
So I checked before we started recording. It's now in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get it tomorrow.
I don't know. Sometimes
Amazon is saying I could get it before 11 p.m. tomorrow night. But, yeah, I'm not holding my breath. I should get the Amiibo tomorrow. But I'm not going to get the game tomorrow.
Yeah. Sometimes those updates are a little bit late though, so it could be on its way from there by now. I don't know.
Yeah, the timestamp was like 7:30 p.m. Central of it being in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So like it would literally, you know, you can drive Pennsylvania to here nonstop and you'll barely make it by midnight.
I think. Touché. Right on. Well, with that, gentlemen, I think we've got time for one email real quick here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's get into that then. All right. Oh my gosh, that's a long email. Let's not do that one. all right. So,
there's a couple of shorter ones. I think we could probably tackle both of those.
All right, let's do those.
Okay. So, Chris from Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Chris. Writes in and says, I've heard conflicting stories about the GameCube adapter for the Wii U. Does the Nintendo Switch support it or not? Which is a relevant question seeing as how Smash is on the horizon.
So I think here's the thing is, the way the question is worded, does the Nintendo Switch support it?
Yeah, I think officially no.
Officially no, but that doesn't mean it's not going to work.
Yeah, because when they did the update to allow for USB controllers,
yeah,
it worked.
Yes. But
then, and you know, Game Explained did a video showing that it worked. Then I think there was an update that might have made it unwork. I'm not 100% sure on that.
My brother actually texted me a couple of weeks ago and was like, dude, I didn't realize that the freaking Switch, that the GameCube controller thing worked. I was playing Mario Kart last night and it was amazing. So it
still works.
So I think in certain games it still works. What you have to know is that not all the buttons are there. And so depending on the game you're trying to play, you may not be able to.
There's no plus and minus and things like that.
Yeah, there's no plus and minus. There's no Z button. Right. There's like the Switch doesn't have a Z button. Right. Sorry. I forgot. I have to localize this nonsense.
They have the ZL, ZR.
Right. But there's no Z button. There's no Z button in general. Right. And so
On the GameCube, yeah, there is just one.
No, that's what I mean, is there's no Z button on the Switch, right? And so that button...
Oh, there's no single Z button, but they have ZL and ZR that generally will represent this, the same as a Z press if it was a GameCube game, but there's you can't right. differentiate between L or R from GameCube going
so
back
So I don't know Switch. If those buttons do anything on the GameCube controllers right now, because again, because they're not supported, and so there's no way to remap them or anything like that either. So
right, so yeah, I imagine when Smash comes out that it will, again, this was my prediction and I still think it's going to happen, they will do a re-release of the of that GameCube adapter that'll be just Switch branded instead of Wii U branded.
Yep.
And hopefully re-release GameCube controllers again.
Yeah, and, I think so. Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine.
I don't know what happened to mine. Mine is somewhere in this mess of an office, and so if it does get re-released, I'm probably going to have to pick one up.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine that they would release that adapter and then not support it for Smash. Like that would, I think there would be riots if they did that. So, I would say just look forward to potentially maybe at one point, but in the meantime, if you have one, then I don't think that it is going to break your system by using it. So, although Nintendo Dads,
I actually found mine the other day.
Uh-huh.
And so I will, I'll try a hands-on test.
Yeah, do it, man. See. Do it. Let's figure it out.
I forgot we had this question and I knew, like, I'd found it and I was like, oh, I'll try that. And then life happens.
And then life
and
in
then,
general.
And so I will I'll give it a test run and see. I've nice. Got a GameCube controller sitting around somewhere. I'll see if it'll at least work, you know, with Mario Kart or whatever.
Yeah.
Awesome. But like you said, I think the game, you know, having the controllers mapped and different things like that to different buttons, I don't know that it all is going to work all that well.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll definitely be on a case by case basis depending on what game you're trying to play. Yeah.
It'd be great if we could use it for Smash, but if not, okay.
Yeah. Although, like I said, there will be riots if you can't do it because the
yeah I know but like, I honestly there. Preferred using the Wii U gamepad for Smash.
You're
one of the few on that one.
And here's the thing: is that the competitive scene wants a wired controller, and so I can't imagine they're not going to cater to that at some point.
That's. I can't play competitive Smash because I can't stand all that clicking and flipping and cancellations and all that stuff. Just play the dang game.
My son's fairly decent at it, and he has participated in some tournaments and was not knocked out in the first round. He played on a GameCube-like controller that connects into the bottom of a Wii Remote. So when he went to the tournament, he brought his Wii Remote and that controller and just paired the remote to their system, and that's how they played it.
Nice. All right, Marty, you got another email?
I do. And our last email of the day comes from Brent Babin, and he asks us this question. My 4.5-year-old daughter has recently decided she's interested in games. She has a blast playing Mario Kart with the steer and control assist on. Outside of that, she hasn't been overly interested in many other games, so her experience with a controller is limited. Are there any games you can think of that are on Switch that would allow for an assisted mode and or minimal button pushing for her? I'm hoping Kirby would be good for her, but given her limited experience with games, I'm afraid she would have to work up to those controls. Thanks for any suggestions or tips. The first game that came to my mind was Mario Odyssey.
With Cappy mode. Oh, maybe, yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Again, if she's not used to using a controller, I don't know that would be. Because there's going to be some very critical moments where Cappy needs to stay still, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And not make Daddy fall down in a giant pit of doom when I needed to jump off of Cappy.
I think Kirby would be a good game as a starter, you know, and... Yeah, she may have problems at first if she's still getting used to how to use a controller, but I think it'd be a good game to start learning those skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I do believe that the Kirby, the way the co-op works is it's drop in and drop out. So if she is playing and suddenly gets tired of it and you want to keep playing and finish a level, I think that's entirely doable.
Looking in the chat here, somebody's suggesting snipper clips. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that you underestimate the...
My wife and I struggle to play
snipper clips
together. Controls are simple. The skills to actually solve the puzzles.
The spatial... The sort of like, the
spatial awareness
is high.
But sometimes, but for a 5-year-old, it might be fun just to sit there and just clip the other people away.
Yeah. Like there's some party mode. There's some party mode sort of stuff in there. I think they call it like the dojo or something. And literally all you do is run around and snip each other. And then until somebody wins.
Right. Last man standing.
Yeah. That mode could be fun, but it's literally just, mash buttons and then somebody wins. So that could be fun, but I think honestly Kirby, and given how old she is, I think honestly I would just say at that age it's just as much about spending time with dad than it is anything else, and so just whatever it is, just kind of enjoying that and not necessarily worrying about she's not really getting it. Like if she's getting frustrated, then it's like, okay, well maybe we'll try something else. Right. But
I'm going to go out on a limb here and throw out another game. One that maybe you, Brett, that maybe you and her could sit on the couch and play together is, again, it's one of those that like, maybe you don't really care about the outcome is, World of Goo.
Oh, that maybe is a good one. Yeah.
Because if you haven't played that, it's completely touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be one that you two could play together. And at least it's the goo building game, maybe you don't complete the level, but she has fun building a tower and you get to share that, time with her.
Yeah. Another one that
I think a lot of times we don't think about these issues, right?
Yeah.
Because we're all pretty controller adept.
Yeah.
But what about people who aren't? What offerings are out there on the Switch for them? And quite frankly, they're few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Another one that I'm thinking of too is any of the Lego games on Switch. Mm-hmm. I'm looking on here right now. Lego City Undercover is 40 Canadian, so I'm guessing that's 30 American. That is I remember my son was probably about, I'm trying to remember how old he would have been now. He probably wouldn't have been that much older than four. Like he was probably like 4.5, maybe 5 when we got that original Marvel game. He is like 7.5 now. And so that first Marvel Superheroes game, like we played the crap out of that game. And those are really fun split screen sort of things where really you can just kind of play the game in split screen mode and you can kind of go and do your own thing and kind of play through the level. And then, every once in a while, hang on, I need you to switch characters because you're clearly not going to be able to beat this part with this character who needs this ability. But those games are really fun as far as couch co-op with kids too. So those are other ones that I would
say. Oh, I was going to think the Marvel games or the Lego games.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I don't know so much. There's been some issues with Lego Marvel Superheroes too. So maybe Lego City Undercover, because the cool part about that is because it is that giant sandbox world.
Mm-hmm.
If she learned how to drive a car and she just wanted to drive around, she could do that.
Yeah.
Or she could walk around and look at all the people, or do quests and the great thing about the Lego games is if you do get stuck and it's like, okay, I cannot do this while you're playing, you can be like, hey, drop out for a minute. Right. And you can drop her controller out and then you can bring her right back in when you're done.
Yeah.
And you're ready. But yeah, there's not a lot of, not a lot of games. I think that parents can enjoy with more, with kids who aren't gaming adept yet.
Yeah.
Game I'm thinking of, not for the single player because that'll be too complicated, but maybe the multiplayer. Mario and Rabbids. You can take your time setting up your moves. It's, you know, it's not, so you can, it would be a good slow paced game for people learning how to use a controller, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be a, you know, a good game, you know, to play, you know, more like the head to head or co-op, you know, where to, you know, talk strategies and help her along with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think those are all good suggestions. And, Brett, if we have some others, we'll try to hit you on Twitter. I'm scrolling through the list of all available Switch games right now, just trying to look for something to send your way.
Yeah.
But all of those, I think, are good, solid selections.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for writing in. We appreciate
it. Right on, man. Well, absolutely. Thank you, good sir. And with that, gentlemen, I think that is a show that has been done, and it is a success. So that's it. So thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode. Marty, what do we got going on in the next in the future? Looking at your crystal ball over there.
We're going to be recording a Retro Rewind episode for Final Fantasy III. Also, very soon we will be putting up a poll for the next game for that Retro Rewind. So be looking for that over on Patreon. Also, both Justin and I have both done Ask Me Anything videos over on our Patreon as well. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you can go check those out. Lots of fun little questions there. And then just be watching the next space. We have some really exciting things coming up with Nintendo Labo, which is going to be launching very soon.
Oh, no.
A really neat opportunity we believe that Nintendo is going to allow us to have. So YouTube, you can go find us over at Nintendo Dads. Just search youtube.com/Nintendo Dads. Will take you right there. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All of it, of course, is Nintendo Dads. And then, you know, download this podcast and share it with your friends. And look, the best way to tell us that you love us is by giving us a review and sharing this podcast with your friends, so that they can come and get some of the Nintendo Dads love as well.
Absolutely. Right on, man. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the show. Like Marty was saying, just go share the love on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Nintendo Dads. Email us at NintendoDads@gmail.com. Twitch or YouTube, videos are there. You find it. It's amazing. You guys are all awesome over there. Make sure you're subscribing. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-ENDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show. And of course, if you want to change the world, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, do so on your podcatcher thing of choice. For me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Justin, who was not here, but we love him anyway. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Stupid kids.
That's the new end.
Oh, that's Justin's gonna be happy. That's the new show end.
Yeah, here, Justin, this one's for you too.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
Didn't want you to feel bad.